Well, welcome back to another episode of Seek Holy. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm so glad that you are listening to another episode, or if this is your first episode, thank you so much for tuning in. My name is Brittany. We have a couple others on the podcast, along with my co-host, Zari Wilson. We have Nia and Lauren on the podcast. Hey, ladies.
Woo!
Hey.
And so, you know how we do. We like to check in before we even get started. So, Zari, my co-host, my friend, how you feeling?
I am so excited that today we get to have Lauren and Nia on our podcast just because they are fantastic. They are two individuals I got to do work with when I was at Duke. And when I was thinking about talking about the college experience and what that is like, and since it's completely different, you know, now that we're a little bit removed, you know, I graduated in 2017. I like to think that was like yesterday, but it's kind of not. And
wow.
So I'm so excited to have these ladies here. And I'm just like, when I was thinking about this topic, I was like, what do I want my niece to hear? She's starting her freshman year of college. And I was thinking about wise women who just finished college, who are close to that experience. And so I'm super excited today that we have Lauren and Nia, and I'm going to let them introduce themselves too. So Lauren, if you want to go first, just tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're at now.
My name is Lauren, and I just graduated from Duke in 2025. I live in D.C. and am new to the area, so just exploring like who I am here and also like a new working adult in consulting. So that's a little bit about me.
Awesome. And Nia, what about you?
Hello, everyone. My name is Nia, and I am also a recent grad. I graduated in the class of 2025, too, and I am currently back at Duke as a graduate student in the Fuqua School of Business, pursuing my master's in management studies. But I studied journalism undergrad, and now I'm excited to intersect the two of storytelling and business and see where God leads me next.
Okay, comm major.
I know. Nia and Lauren are also close friends, so maybe even just tell us how you guys know each other as well.
For sure. I mean, we can go back and forth. We can tag team it a bit. So let me set the scene. This was right after, during COVID, I would say. 2021 of the fall, we were back on East Campus at Duke. We lived in two separate dorm halls, but it was this big carnival night. And again, this is like mid-COVID, so everyone was a little cautious. But after some of the festivities, we ended up coming to a mutual friend's room. And we were talking, and I think it was a Saturday or a Friday or something, because we were talking about our plans for the weekend. And I was like, yeah, I'm excited to go to church. And so just for a little bit of background, I go to West Broad Church of Christ in Richmond, Virginia. Grew up there my entire life. And so I was looking for another church that had similar style and like beliefs. And so I was looking for a Church of Christ. And the one that I found online and then through talking with people in my congregation was Southside Church of Christ. And so I was talking in the room like, I'm going to this new church. I'm nervous. So they're going to be young people. And then Nia was like, well, wait, oh, wait, I've heard of that too. And so I don't know if you want to take over the story now and tell your point of view from there, Nia.
Yeah, no, I was shocked because, you know, someone who grew up in the Church of Christ too, I was like, oh my goodness. And, you know, I knew at that point, of course, our parents would be proud, be like, oh my goodness, you found a friend who's in the Church of Christ. So, from there, we connected immediately because we grew up with some of the same values. And we started going to church together, and my sister from the church took us both in. And anytime we needed anything, we would go to the mall with her and her daughter, and other sisters too would invite us out for breakfast and just fellowship. So, that's a little background of how we got connected, and we pretty much stay connected through that.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys for sharing that. And just kind of to kick us off, if you haven't picked up yet, we're talking about college, but we're going to hear a little bit about Lauren and Nia's story. So Lauren, tell us a little bit about yourself. Like, give us a little background context.
Okay. So I think this is really important to who I am. I'm an only child. And so it's been really important for me in terms of establishing, there's a few of us out here, but when you see one, you know who we are, right?
I see you, girl.
Right. Like, community is super important to me. And because I don't have like brothers or sisters, forming family like relationships outside of my family is really important to me. And so I would say that's what's guided a lot of my choices in life, not in a negative way, but like being who I am and connecting with people authentically. That's really important to me. And so a little bit about me is that I really strive to lead with love. I strive to connect with people and to not just include people who are like me, but to also find out about people who aren't, about their life experiences, about what makes them who they are. And I think that curiosity about people bleeds into every sect of my life. Like, if you are one of my friends, you know that I ask like a bunch of questions, sometimes randomly, sometimes planned. But I just think that having that thirst just to get to know people, and then like through that, getting to know their background, their beliefs, and then hopefully through me, people will know God and Jesus and my relationship with that. Like, that's really important to me. So I would say that's a bit about me. I'm in a transition phase dealing with like a lot of family stuff that I didn't think I would have to deal with until I was older. And so that's been a real, especially through my college years, a large challenge that me and Nia have related on in a big way, but just something that I've been facing. So leading with curiosity and love also through amidst the storm.
Thanks, Lauren. What about you, Nia? Tell us a little bit about yourself and your background.
I grew up in a single parent household with my mother and brother, but both parents are actively in my life and present and everything. And from a young age, I would say that I dreamed big. I always thought when I was younger that I would have my own talk show. So the sky was the limit for me.
Okay.
Look at us. We're like, is this the start?
All right.
And she will.
Amen, friends. Yeah. Speak life.
Yes. And I stayed active and involved as a young girl. I played basketball, soccer, did cheerleading, volunteering. I was also in Girl Scouts and did that from the age of 5 to my senior year in high school. I also attended public school through 8th grade. And then after that, I received a grant to go to a boarding school. So a little different. My perspective, you know, on life kind of, you know, changed a little bit because I went away from home at the age of 14. So I grew up a little faster than most, you know, when even though I thought like when I was, you know, in high school and stuff, I thought I was going to be in the WNBA or play basketball or something. Yeah, I just thought that would be my profession in life. But soon, probably about my sophomore year in high school, I was like, okay, this ain't looking how I thought it was going to look. I enjoyed the dreaming aspect more than actually practicing. So let's switch gears a little bit. And from there, that's when I decided to take my education more seriously. And after that, I, you know, knew that education was going to be my path to self-discovery and essentially my career and what I wanted to do in life.
Thanks for sharing. I know Duke is a very specific experience. So I'm just curious, what was college like for y'all? Silence.
It's so hard, I think, because also it's so fresh. Part of me, I know I go to my job from 9 to 5 and I know I'm not in college, but part of me is like, did I really leave? And yes, I did. I'm from Richmond, Virginia, so Duke is not far from me at all. Also grew up with a single mom. And so college for me started off a little rocky. I wasn't finding my friend group automatically. I really had this mindset that like I needed a friend group to be successful at Duke. And it just got me maybe around the wrong crowd or around the crowd like we just didn't connect. And so that's kind of how my Duke journey started. And then I found gospel choir, which Unite and Pray, shout out. That was like a huge part of my Duke experience. I was in it all 4 years, basically. And that community really, when I think about Duke, that's what I think about. You know, like they poured into me, I poured into them. And like just that cyclical relationship of being able to invest in something and seeing the legacy that you're building, especially when it's like rooted in faith and rooted in relationship with God, like that was so powerful to me. And so that was a lot of my time in college. I studied abroad 3 times, like went to Scotland, went to Spain, studied in DC, tried to navigate different experiences. Sorry, me met on sophomore class council. I really was trying to explore like what I identify as a Black woman. I am a Black woman. Like I wanted to see like what outside of the Black community at Duke, like could I find interest in or what were people outside of the group that I was hanging out with, like, what were they like? And so I decided to join student government. And like, that was a really eye-opening experience. So I would really say I navigated Duke with a trial and error mindset. I would try something. If I didn't like it, I would pivot. If I really liked something, I would invest in it and grow. And so college for me was a great experience because I was given the opportunity to learn, make mistakes, or grow, or invest. Like, that really is my college story, if I had to define it.
That's good. I love that you said trial and error. I think a tendency of a lot of students is to like overload their schedule with activities and everything, especially the Duke student. And so like, it's okay when you go to college to like try some things and be like, okay, this is not really my jam and this is not for me. And then also like, we're adding a whole nother layer when we talk about being a student of color at a PWI. And like, I know that was, there was a lot there that we navigated together.
Yes.
Didn't mention, I mean, like we mentioned it, but we can get into the weeds if we want. But yes, there were definitely some experiences with knowing who I am and then having other people's perspective of that.
Yeah.
And that being rooted in things that just weren't true. That didn't just happen with the situation me and Zari dealt with, but just in general, that balance between you knowing yourself, you feeling like you have to prove yourself, and then you just being. Figuring that out was in a constant balance for me, because I felt like acceptance within the people who I hung with, my friends, my tribe. But then like in every space you're in most of the time, everyone is not a part of your tribe. And it's very clear. And so trying to figure out how do I present as myself? And how do I present like authenticity while also being able to navigate a space that just doesn't accept me, not even that just wasn't built for me, like sometimes just doesn't accept me, like that was a challenge. But it's not unlike a lot of situations once you get out of college, so you learn real quick.
Nia, what about you? What was college like?
I feel like college was like a whirlwind for me. I learned many things. I learned how to be disciplined and the power of for sure asking for help. And just leaning into community. I would say when I first started as a freshman, it was difficult being so far away from home. Even though I was used to being away from home, this was a little further away. So that was a transition. And then I think just the pressure that I put on myself immediately when starting classes. I look back on my freshman year, even the first class, one of the first classes I took, I actually wound up withdrawing from because it became very difficult for me. And I remember going to my dean's office and being like, I don't belong at this institution. And and she reassured me that, you know, I made it in for a reason. I'm here for a reason and for a purpose. And even though I was caught up in how that W would look on my transcript, I'm like, oh, I don't think I'll ever get a job or go to grad school or anything like that. She told me that W stood for wisdom. And, and I carried that with me through my time. So, so from there, I just wound up, you know, a lot of the time just taking leaps of faith and, you know, trusting that even when times were hard, to just continue to ask for help and lean into community. I too went away my sophomore year. I went to, I did the Duke in Los Angeles program. So I studied away for a semester my sophomore spring at USC. So that was foreign, went across the country. And, you know, another experience of like, oh my gosh, like I'm out here alone. I don't know how I'm going to make it, but things just wind up working out. And God put the right people in my life that would push me into his greater plans and purpose for me. And then I even wind up studying abroad in Costa Rica, stayed with the best host family who took me in and, you know, made so many friendships along the way. But my journey looked a little different because, you know, as soon as I kind of got comfortable somewhere, I, you know, challenged myself to go somewhere else. But in that, I learned so much and really enjoyed the process of it all. So, yeah, I'd say my college experience was a combination of those things and much more, of course.
So good. And what I hear as a common thread through your story, Lauren and Nia, is just the grace that you're giving to yourself in discovery. Because I think really in college, you are discovering a lot, not just about yourself, but also about your environment, about the world. And you're coupling knowledge with experience. And one of the things that I would love to even know more about, you both talked about having a background with the Church of Christ and having, and what I'm assuming is that you both had a relationship with the Lord prior to coming into your college years. And please correct me if I'm wrong, but I would love to hear from you all in that discovery process. What were you wrestling with or learning about God during that process? Mm-hmm. And how did you even prioritize your relationship with God? Because, I mean, I know for me, and I talked about it in a previous podcast, that when I went to college, I knew a lot about God, but I now had to learn what it looked like to be in relationship with him. And it wasn't just about legalism, right? So what were things that you were discovering about God for yourself and experiencing maybe for the first time or really having an understanding of?
It's hard because when you ask that question, I'm like thinking of moments, like pivotal moments where like I really had to sit down and like talk it out and be still. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that I really struggled with and am still trying to learn what that means in my day to day. Yeah, so in the experiences of college, I think that one way I had to kind of break what I thought a relationship with God looked like and then what it was in actuality was just like the concept of going into church and that being enough. And I wouldn't say that was modeled in my household, but I just thought like if you're there for, you know, Sunday worship and then whatever midweek Bible study you have, then like you're good. You know, you read the Bible here and there, but like you've basically like checked the boxes, you've reflected once or twice and you're good. And so being in college and having to go through things independently for like the first time, like real life stuff, not things like I didn't go to the football game, but like real life decisions in processes which I just couldn't rely on my own understanding. Like that really forced me to like talk to God in a way I hadn't before. And a little background, my father died when I was young. And so I always thought like, you know, I believe in God. Like that is never a question. But I didn't know what it looked like to like go through struggles and difficulty and like include him in every step of the process. And so being able to go through situations and to be in community in God in a way that I hadn't been before, like that, I learned that through experiences. I learned what it was like not to include him. And I was like, this ain't it. Right. And then the next time I'd be like, what can I do differently? Because what I did before didn't work. How can I talk to him more? What do I need to focus on in terms of my Bible study to make sure I'm connecting my real life experiences to like what he tells us to do, what stories he provides to guide us? Like, how can I connect those two? And like through that trial and error process and being able to reflect on like what worked and didn't, that's how I strengthened my relationship with God. And so, yeah, again, being able to take what was wrong with what I did and to transform that the next time I came into something or like my day to day, that's how I prioritized him, by taking that time to reflect and like set a goal or an intention to do better by doing X, Y, Z.
Oh, that's so good, Lauren. I mean, what you just explained was how God created a level of dependency. Like he wanted you to depend on him in every situation, in every circumstance. And you got to really experience that in the real issues and things that you were dealing with in college, which is amazing. So amazing. Nia?
I think for me, God was really honing in on me in regards to surrendering my wants to make way for his will in my life. There was just a lot of letting go for me. And I even think back to how I initially came into Duke thinking that I wanted to study public policy, go into government or law, and how I wound up taking an internship my freshman summer and was just sitting there bored at the at the cubicle and was like, this ain't it. This is not it. There's no like drive or, you know, genuine interest in this. And I realized, you know, I was dealing with stuff that people's lives were on the line. Like we're dealing with real world issues. And I remember coming back to Duke my sophomore year and once again meeting with my dean. Shout out to her at this point. I was like, I chose the wrong school. I don't think I'm meant to be here because I took an internship in what I plan to major in, and it's not what I want to do anymore. But the whole time I'm sitting at the internship, I'm listening to different podcasts, radio shows, and all the things of what, you know, genuinely interests me, which is a common thread of storytelling. And I, you know, took that back turn and was like, well, maybe I should have went to a school out west, should have went to, you know, a school that had to deal with communications, or at the time I didn't even know what journalism really even meant or entailed. And she winded up telling me, well, you know, there's an opportunity where even though there's not a journalism major at the school, you can create your own major. And I was like, create my own major. So, you know, I looked into more of that and I winded up doing it. And it was difficult and trying because it took me multiple tries, but I didn't give up. It kind of showed me how God really wants me, like, because my educational journey consisted of a lot of self-control. I knew that, you know, I had the power in my hands to, you know, do well and to study hard and to do all the things I needed to do. But God showed me throughout this journey and this time is that what worked in the past is not going to work anymore. You can't control you can't control your academic journey how you think you can. And I have better plans for you. So yeah, so those better plans did indeed happen. I winded up creating my own major and what it is I wanted to do in journalism. And it's crazy enough, the school that I told my dean that I should have, you know, applied to was a school I wind up still going through a program at Duke. And that's where I actually got my feet wet in journalism and came back and was like, yes, this is what I want to do. And ironically enough, I got accepted out there into the program where I created my own major. And so, yeah, I would say that's kind of how God was pushing me in this journey of just letting go and letting God, as they like to say.
Just listening to you guys, y'all just sound so wise. Like,
right.
I feel like literally, I think I shared another episode. Like, I was throwing my own interventions for myself because, like, I'm like, I don't know. I'm getting off track with where I'm supposed to be. And it just seems like y'all were staying on track and y'all were comfortable. And you can be pushed back. And probably it's probably wasn't always like this, but being set apart from the very beginning, y'all seem so focused. Yes. And what I'm hearing in your story. So maybe can you guys share what it was like to be set apart from your peers? Because when you go to college, like, you're told you're going to be partying and, like, you're going to have, like, so much fun and dating and this and that. And, like, it's just that is kind of the image you're given. So how was it to be set apart in college for you guys?
My process of, you know, being set apart honestly started later in my time in college, like my junior year, because I can't lie to you, like the beginning part of, well, beginning, middle, a lot of it consisted of, you know, still finding our way,
No
and,
shame,
you know,
no shame.
Yeah, no shame going to those parties, going out, getting to know different people. Thankfully, God still had his hand. Had his hand on me. And my journey of being set apart honestly started the second half of my junior year. It started when I winded up being discipled. There's a campus ministry called Every Nation Campus. And I found out about it randomly after going to the club fair. And, you know, I had no business being there. I was a junior. I already knew what I was doing. But, you know, I was clearly there for a reason. I was reeled in by an insomnia cookie.
Okay.
And yes.
I'll do it. The cookies will get you there. We know that as soon as Paris comes. Yes.
And winded up going to one of their large groups, which is like they give sermons weekly. And it's funny enough because I went to one of the large groups and I remember everybody, you know, crying, and they were crying over this woman. And I was like, is everybody crying over her? And she was announcing that she was leaving. She was a campus minister and she was like leaving soon, and that God called her into another place to continue her education. And I remember she emphasized in her message discipleship, and I became curious to know about it because, you know, even though I grew up in the church, I never read the Bible. So I never opened up the Bible until my junior spring. And I opened it up for the first time, and it was through her taking me through discipleship, and it was this one-to-one personal guide that winded up going through different aspects of what it means to follow Christ. And I, you know, met with her weekly, and it was during a trying time in my life. So I feel like that was the time that God was truly setting me apart, because I was, as I was growing closer to him, he was just starting to, you know, prune me and, you know, really cleanse me and aim to try to make me more like him. And I remember her at the end of our time before she left, went through a couple books of the Bible, and she intentionally left off with the book of Proverbs for me. And we left off in Proverbs 31. And I would say that's when I knew God was trying to set me apart. But obviously, it was just the beginning, because after that, I went through so much more. But I would say the start of me being set apart was me being underneath leadership and being discipled.
I'm just like listening and like that discipleship piece. But also what stands out is the fact that you said you hadn't even opened your Bible that time period. And I think that is a common experience for so many Christians. We say we go to church and that's kind of it. It's kind of going back to what Lauren has shared about, like, I'm used to checking those boxes. But I think when you get to college, it's that moment where it's like, okay, no one's forcing you to be at church. No one's forcing you to go deeper. And so, like, even if you're listening and you, like, I know, like, there's a lot of people who've shared with me before, like, I don't like to bring my physical Bible to church because I don't know where the certain books are in the Bible. And if the pastor says go there, I don't want to, like, look like I'm fumbling through. And there's, like, a lot of shame in that. And so my prayers, if you're listening, like, no shame. Today's a great day to start. Okay. And if you're wondering where to start, I was just talking about this with a friend the other day. Like, a lot of people would recommend the Gospels as a great start. Matthew is a great entry book to the Bible. Start there. And that's okay. Like, and the Bible Project, is great. Highly recommend on YouTube. Makes it make more sense. Okay. So if you're needing visuals, like, that is a good way to kind of get yourself introduced to that, but also praying for someone to disciple you, because that is so powerful that someone wise walked alongside you during a lot of challenging times too. I know you guys had each other throughout college, but what was maybe it like choosing friends? How did you choose your friends? What was it like losing friends in college? What did that look like for you, and how did you navigate that too?
I think that like the daily practices of like what it means to be a Christian and what it means to be a woman of God, like, again, was really trial and error for me. And it kind of relates to the last question of being set apart. Throughout my experience, I needed to have experiences. I couldn't just take someone's word for it. I think that like I really wanted to understand why something maybe wasn't great, or like understand like what's the negative effects, what's the adverse effects. Like, of course, maybe not with like some things, because you just know some things you're not, that's just not right. But in other senses of the word, it's like I had to figure it out for myself, and like in continuing to. But in terms of friends, again, going back to like the beginning of like who are we, like connection and authenticity is really important to me. And so I knew like one goal I had going into college, like I'm gonna meet my kids' aunts and uncles here, period. Because a lot of my aunts and uncles are my mom's like college people, her college group. So that put a lot of pressure on me again to find friends fast. Because I was like, if we're not meeting freshman year, then how are we going to be friends any other year? Like, that's just how it worked in my brain, which is not how college works, FYI. Like, it's not at all. And so finding friends, I think it was just being in spaces that like I had mutual, where we had mutual interests. Like, again, gospel choir is where I met a lot of my friends, and a lot of my friends that we stayed friends throughout college. Living on the same hall as some of my friends. And then when we get to the losing friends kind of aspect of it, I think that I had to really reflect, and like when I was in spaces and didn't feel like I was being myself, like I was holding back or I felt judged or I felt like the topics of conversation just were not things that like aligned with me, I like had to back away. And I don't think it was anything dramatic as like we're not friends anymore. But I think in college, it's just like natural progression of like pruning of people. And like sometimes you're in season for each other and sometimes you're not. And being okay with that and honest about that is something I always led with because I never wanted someone to feel like I wasn't giving to them what they were giving to me. And so I did try to have honest conversations if something really wasn't working, like, hey, would love to, you know, keep in contact if necessary. But like right now, I just don't think this is like great for me. And because of XYZ, like if you ever need anything, please feel free to reach out. But I just feel like we're not connecting on this point. Like there's a gap there that I don't know how we're going to fix. And I think some time would help. Like having those honest conversations were important to me because I never wanted anyone to feel like they were alone. But I also didn't want people to rely on me in a way that I knew I couldn't show up for them. So that was really that. Some of those conversations were hard. I mean, it didn't happen a lot, like maybe twice, three times. But I think it was necessary in order to like move on with closure. Because when you have those conversations, you're not moving on. Like, is this person scaring me? Like, can I interact with them? Like, you're still in a space where you can say hello to each other on the sidewalk. You can be cordial, but there's an expectation. There's boundaries there that grow. And I think that was really important for me in choosing who I wanted like to be my close friends and then who I maybe just wanted to like keep at a distance and like say hello to here and there. And I that's just something you have to define like yourself and then like pray about because you're the one controlling that. Like, of course, God as well. Like, you're the one saying, hey, let's get coffee. You're the one doing this. Like, it was important for me to have that kind of defined strategy.
Ooh, that is so wise. I honestly wish I had that wisdom, Lauren, when I was in school. I know Zari mentioned that she graduated in 2017. I graduated in 2014. And I remember vividly sitting a girl down that I was friends with. I actually knew her prior to college. And, you know, things were getting rocky by sophomore year with our relationship. And I sat her down and I said, girl, we are no longer friends. And I thought I was acting in humility. It was full of pride. And honestly, if I could go back and change a situation in my life, I would do that better because that broke that relationship. I mean, I still do not talk to her. That was a missed opportunity to walk in wisdom and walk in grace. And I'm just so amazed by the way that you still acted with integrity and wisdom, even in those relationships. But I do wonder, is there any moment that you can think of that you would want to go back and change? Or now that you have a little bit more wisdom on the other side of that, that you would want to do differently?
Yeah. there's many things that come to mind in regards to, you know, just vetting friends. Because I was a type that was just so quick to use the word friend that I didn't realize how much weight it holds on both ends and what friendship truly means and the act of showing up. I think actions truly speak louder than words. And I've encountered many people who say many things, but their actions may look a little different. So I would vet my friends, but also now looking back with what I know, I would bring my friendships to God because there was a lot of friendships that he didn't even want in my life. But I, you know, had to learn the hard way because, you know, I put myself in predicaments where the people weren't for me and they were going to destroy me if I didn't get out the situation and his will for my life. So now what I know, I would, you know, ask the Lord, is this someone that you brought into my life and for what reason, what purpose, and how do you want me to show up in this friendship? You get the gist of what I'm trying to say with vetting and not only vetting for my own personal gain or benefit, but vetting for the sake of for sake of the Lord.
How do you vet? What does that look like? Because like something that's coming to mind, like immediately I'm thinking Like, I'll give an example. If someone is gossiping to me about someone else, then I'm like, dang, they're probably going to do that about me too. So I listen to how like people would speak about others. So like, what is maybe an example of a way you would like recommend to someone to vet their friends?
Yeah, I would recommend vetting through, does this person carry the fruits of the spirit? Do they embody love, patience, joy? Do they have self-control? Are they gentle? There's more I'm probably missing in Galatians. Yeah. I would say that's the best way to vet. Yeah, that's how I would vet with the knowledge that I know now.
Also, one thing that I, again, have had to make friends my entire life. Like, I preach that, like, it is so hard to know sometimes when the relationship is one for life, when it's one for a season, and when there just, like, doesn't need to be one, especially with friendships. And so I think that one thing that lets me know, or, like, there's a point in a friendship where there has to be a break between, like, surface-level conversation and, like, real life. Right? Like, for me, it's when I can talk about my family. It's when I can talk about my past. It's when I can talk about something that maybe I don't want everyone knowing. And being able to have those conversations with someone, seeing their reactions, if they're open to also sharing, like, that to me explains so much. And, like, I have friends from every walk of life, right? Like, we have different beliefs. We come from different places. We have different definitions of, like, what success, all these things. Yeah. And I think it really, it's those conversations where I see like acceptance or like distance. And that is how like I bet. And it's not like 1 month from now, I'm going to have a deep conversation with you. And that's when we'll know. No, it's not like that. It really comes naturally. And I'm able to see like, does this person have a genuine interest in my life? Do I have an interest in their life? And like, can I see this growing? So that's one thing I try to do with people who I feel like I could be close with.
Yeah. This was not in the list of questions, so I'm going off script, as Britt promised I would do. You know, some people may want to know about dating in college. What were y'all's thoughts, experiences? Did you come to college thinking you were getting your MRS? As they did? Yes. I didn't even know what that was. People told me that, like,
where's the rate?
Most women are still getting, they're coming here for their MRS. I'm like, they're what? And they're like, their master's degree. I'm like, oh, okay. So what was dating like? If y'all experienced that or like thinking you wanted to date in college?
Yeah, me and Nia have had many of talks about this, many of different experiences. When I came into college, I thought at least I was going to have, and this is, I don't care if it's on the internet, I was going to have my first boyfriend. We were going to get engaged, and 2 years after grad, we were going to get married. And okay, he, you know, like, all of the, exactly. I was like, my plan, God, hopefully they connect, you know? Yeah. And so going into college, I really had an expectation of at least exploring more. And through talking with people, like never really had a serious relationship, I understood like, maybe this like is just not the place. And I think something that gave me comfort was that a lot of other Black women at Duke, different looks, different, whatever, everything different, just were not really having dating experiences either, between like the one or two rare cases. And so that gave me comfort in that it wasn't something wrong with me, but I think it was also so hard to go like through 4 years of not really making a connection and then visualizing now being post-grad, like what does that look like when I haven't had a serious connection and I'm an adult, like a full-grown adult? What do I have to offer? I have a lot to offer. But like that lack of experience is sometimes a red flag for a lot of people, or sometimes that can be a deficit. And to me, like dating, not dating, talking, whatever you want to define it at Duke, like that was a really hard time for me because it was hard not to process that as like rejection. And I mean, you do, like, there's some sort of validation you do get from that. Like, although we shouldn't, it's like, there is some sort of like, at least I'm a step closer to like what I know, like I want. At least I'm a step closer to being wife. At least I'm a step closer to like seeing like really what God has for me. At least that's how I thought about it. And so not really progressing on that journey was hard at Duke, a place where like I'm putting my educational journey like as a priority. I'm bettering myself. I'm figuring out my style. I'm growing deeper in my relationship with God. Like all these things I'm working on, right? For me, but also hopefully that will attract someone that is doing the same things.
And I mean, talk about
it's not happening. So that's at least a little bit about my dating history experience at Duke.
Nia, you have thoughts?
Yeah, no, I think in regards to dating, I think my perspective was more or less coming in thinking after college, you know, you'll already be married or engaged at least and start building your future life. But I think where God kind of sat me down is in the fact that I more or less was kind of jumping the gun with everything and not even taking it back and focusing on the value of friendship, of where it all begins, and how I didn't really take that as seriously. You know, I didn't even know who I was in Christ. I didn't know what it really meant to truly love myself either. I would have been putting myself in, well, I have put myself in predicaments where, you know, it just wasn't for my own good, as I should say. So now if I would go back in time, I would focus more on those things first in regards to not only just loving myself, loving Christ, valuing friendship and what it truly means before just jumping the gun to being with somebody and, you know, wanting to experience all the great things. Because at the end of the day, experiencing, you know, all of that stuff truly doesn't mean anything if I just don't know who I am. And it would have ended up in a catastrophe at this point.
So good. My goodness. The wisdom that you guys are saying, I hope that you hear this as an encouragement. And I hope it's not discouraging when I say this, but the wisdom that the Lord has given you all through this experience, this college experience, if you all take that into the future, however long that God allows you to be on this earth, it will be a game changer for the kingdom. I mean, the things that you guys are learning, I'm in my Jesus year. You know, I'm at the age of 33. Okay. So I am just learning what it looks like to seek him above all the other noise. I'm learning how to be intentional in my friendships, in my relationships. And so to hear you all speak about these things so clearly and to speak about these experiences that God has allowed you to have, I mean, I hope you don't take it for granted. And I hope that God continues to bless you and favor you as you continue to move forward in what he has for you, because it may look different than everybody else. And so that set apart experience in college, it doesn't end. It didn't end once you got your degree. Now you're moving into a new season where it's going to call you even higher. And so I'm just so proud of you all. I mean, I'm just now meeting you all, but I'm so proud of you and proud of what God is doing in your lives. And we could be on this podcast all day, really, because you guys are so wise.
Do you mind if I just say one thing?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, Lauren.
And I really do appreciate you calling that out. And it is always nice to hear, like, you're doing something, like, good, well, whatever. I do want to say, like, this is like 4 years after reflect. This is or a year or however long and reflecting during it. Like, it was not always a smooth process, or like the first thing I was doing was praying and like I felt immediately better. Or the first thing I was doing was singing a hymn and was like, I'm good. Like, that is not the experience. Yeah. And so I don't want anyone listening to feel like figured out is like ever really the eternal state I was in college. Like, it was a constant process of learning and reflecting and shifting and adapting. And so, like, I just want to say that this is after a moment. This is after a brief pause after we graduated. And like, it's okay if it's not smooth. It's okay if there's a lot of meltdowns. It's okay if you just have so many questions and don't know who to go to for the answer, and you're not getting a telephone to God being like, this is it. That's so okay and fine, because really what I learned through my experience is like the only person controlling your relationship with God is you. The only person like setting expectations really and like be holding yourself accountable is you. Like, you can have people in your circle pushing you to do better, but it really comes down to you at the end.
Yeah.
And so, like,
okay,
that is so just like, I wish someone had told me that. Mm-hmm. I wish someone had told me the standard I'm working towards has to be defined by me and also rooted in text from the Bible. But like, it's not defined by this like A, B, C, D ladder. It really isn't. Perfection, success, and whatever you're doing, it's not defined by that. And so it was not always pain-free and like as eloquent as we're making it sound. At least my experience wasn't. So,
yeah. And that's the grace of God for sure.
Yeah.
And like, I'm probably putting Lauren on blast a little bit. We had tons of moments in my office where we would talk, if it was getting emotional, all the things. Like, it was like, so find someone on campus that you connect with, find someone older. So like, we already heard from Nia about finding a discipler, like find someone who can be a mentor to you. And I think a lot of that is going to, maybe for some of us, it's going to look like finding an on-campus ministry. Shop around. It's okay to go try different ones. Go try out places where you can still stay plugged in with the Lord, because that is so important in college. Like, you can think you can do it all by yourself, but like, I remember my pastor telling me, like, if you're not staying plugged in with community, with like church, a faith community, it's like you're a lone sheep wandering off and the wolves are like just ready to attack. Yes. So you have to stay with community. And which you guys have both shared, like you guys were still plugged in a faith community. And Nia even sharing that wasn't something that you got really involved in on campus until like junior year. I appreciate both of y'all being so wise and all the things that you guys have shared and the reflection. And Lauren, thank you for pointing out that it took reflection. You're going to make mistakes in college. And there's going to be times where you are going to be, I mean, I was there, like I was beating myself up about decisions and choices I've made. And I really had moments where I felt like the Lord was like, Zari, I've already forgiven you. You're going to mess up. Take it to the Lord and allow him to affirm that I've forgiven you. There's no condemnation here. You're going to make mistakes. The thing is you learn from those mistakes. Lauren kind of shared, but what encouragement would you have offered the freshman year you? And so maybe the freshman currently listening right now, what is one thing you would leave them with?
You mentioned a little bit on this plugged in community. I 100% echo that. I would say there's going to be times where I hope, you know, freshmen won't experience times where, or maybe you will, where you might not feel like God is near. I would say when you feel like you're losing yourself, to still seek him. Because there was times that I felt like I was losing myself with getting so caught up into just, you know, the ways in which college life can consume you with so much going on, the busyness, socializing, people inviting you this place, that place, and to even parties and a whole bunch of things. And, you know, it's easy to lose sight of your values, how you were raised, and just who you are. In those times of, you know, when that happened, to just reflect, forgive yourself because you're not perfect, but also still seek and yearn after him. Because I feel like in those times where, you know, I felt like I was losing myself, felt like I was alone, and I, you know, maybe held on to one thing that I knew. And oftentimes it was a song. It wasn't even, it wasn't even scripture. But to just cling on to that, because, you know, you never know where God can find you and can save you. And, you know, he hears your every cry. I would say that would be my biggest advice, is to continue to seek him even when you may not feel it, even when you feel just far away. Because it just reminds me of even the parable of the prodigal son, how he'll find you no matter how far away you get, and that he's running after you with his love. And college can be a trying time, but know that God will be there with you through it all.
Thanks, Nia. Lauren, did you want to add anything?
Yeah, I think that, of course, everything that Nia said times two. But I think one thing I wish I told my freshman self, and that freshmen know, is that every interaction you have with someone is going to impact them in some way. And when I was younger, like the one like aspect or compliment I got was like, oh my God, your light shines so bright. Like, let the light of Jesus shine within you. Like, not that it's a compliment, but it meant so much to me because I think that's the way I continue to try to live. Yeah. I think that there's so many opportunities in college to ruin a relationship, to not be who you are, to project what is just like totally opposite of what you believe in. There's so many opportunities to do that. Like, and there's so many people you interact with that come from different walks. And my one like piece of advice would be to like, remember that everything you do is being watched and every interaction mm-hmm. you have with someone make an impact. Mm-hmm. So make sure that it's one that you'll be proud of and that you feel like reflects who you are at your core and whose you are at your core, right? Like make sure that everything you are doing for the most part, besides sleeping, is with intention. Like, and even I go to sleep intentionally sometimes.
Sleep so with
like,
intention, go to bed. Right.
Oh my goodness. That's a big one. But also like, Lauren, you bring up such a great point and you also remind me too of just the power of relationships, of connections, because those are the things that, you know, people forget, especially freshmen. I talked about this in the beginning, but asking for help is a sign of strength, not weakness.
Amen.
There's been so many times where I asked for help and it led to just great things and getting to know great people and just, you know, cherishing that aspect in regards to building genuine relationships that'll last a lifetime, because that's one of the most important things you can have. And one of the things that will honestly build the most success is the power of relationships. It's really like, I don't know even how to categorize it. I think it's probably the most important tool that you need in life is you need people, and not to shy away from that. Get to know your professors, get to know your deans. A lot of the most powerful relationships, the mailroom, housekeeping in the dorm, you just never know. There's so many people, even upon my graduation, who I was like, wow, God, like, they remember that I graduated because I spoke to them. I spoke to them in the hall and I didn't forget about people and I didn't look down on people who may not seem like they had that job that was, you know, highly sought after. But, you know, you never know who God can use and who he can use to empower you. So definitely build relationships, build your team, build your network. Because those are the people that's going to ride for you even when times get hard, like my dean did. She rode for me to the end.
Thank you guys so much for sharing. We would love to pray over you guys and those listening too. So, God, we just come to you now and we say thank you, Lord, for just the wisdom that is on Nia and Lauren, Lord. I thank you for connecting them in friendship, Lord, and bringing them together, Lord, to have that lifelong friendship of support. And God, I thank you, God, for just allowing them to be able to reflect on these last 4 years, to see your hand, to not take things that maybe didn't happen their way as a personal rejection. God, I just pray that you would just continue to bless them abundantly for their obedience to you, Lord, for their courage, for the light that they shine in any and every space that they enter. God, we pray for those who are listening right now who maybe be starting their first year of college or maybe are in their last year. God, I just pray that you would allow them to be a light in dark places, Lord. Help them to know that they're not alone when it comes to being set apart, Lord. I pray that they would know that your way is truly the best way and that you don't withhold any good thing from them. God, I pray that you would allow them to have strength, to be brave. I pray that you would show them the right people they should be in relationship with. God, I pray that you would allow them to have favor in their classes. God, I pray that they wouldn't feel like they need to follow a path just because it seems like that's where the success is. But God, I pray that you would give them boldness to try out that major that they're actually really curious about and to try something new, to meet new people, to go outside of their comfort zone. God, we pray that you would just cover our students. We pray that you would cover the professors, guide the leadership in our institutions, Lord. And God, I just thank you so much for all that you're doing in and through this podcast. And we pray that you'd bless those who are listening right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.